I'm under a lot of pressure here this morning. Got a Presbyterian minister in our midst. We see George once a year. We go down there Christmas Day usually. We look forward to that every year. And every year he's still there preaching the Word of God. It's so good to see that. I like consistency in ministry. We were down at Coffs Harbour recently with a leadership conference, weren't we, Jeff? We're now highly trained leaders. The pastor down there has been ministering for 30 years in the same church, and I love that. I know, yeah. So anyway, okay. So my message this morning is really about Maryland. And I just want to tell you about a little journey that we recently undertook. Not only Marilyn and I undertook it, but some of our family members also undertook it with us as we climbed Mount Warning. Who here has climbed Mount Warning? Oh, so some people will know what I'm talking about. The others, you can just, they're going to have to imagine it, but I'm going to fill you in as we go, and I'm going to take you on this journey, hopefully. We had attempted this climb previously, some years ago, with Bob and Cheryl Major, who most of you know. We only got halfway though, and a big storm came along, and we had to abandon the trip, forced back. Here she is. Turn it on. She's 1,156 metres. It'll come back. 1,156 metres. That's a bit over a kilometre. Straight up. There she be. Extinct volcano, and you can see the dike on the top. Quite a magnificent mountain. Could I just tell you this, though? It doesn't compare to Mount Barney. It was the second highest mountain in Queensland, which I've also climbed. And it was a much more odious ordeal. But this one, Maryland climbed, so we want to talk about that. It was on our bucket list to do. No, there you go. See, corrected straight away. It wasn't on our bucket list. It was on my bucket list, not Maryland's bucket list. Hey, but as a good wife, she follows my lead. We're a team, I keep telling her. We're a team. So, not only did I want to climb this mountain, but I, along with my eldest son, we wanted to climb it and be on top for sunrise to make the journey worth the trip. So, this required very careful planning because we just had to pick exactly the right time. We had recently, previously, a few weeks prior, had cancelled a recent climb because the weather forecast was bad. So it was going to be cloud. So we cancelled that right at the last moment. What would be the point, we thought, of getting to the top of this mountain and not being able to view the sunrise over the ocean? Because that's half the experience. Climbing the mountain would have been good. But we wanted the full experience. The first part of the journey was easy. It involved driving to the car park at the bottom of the mountain. But that journey had commenced 2 hours prior when we left our son's home at Mumblegum after 2 hours sleep. So we left the house at 12 midnight. We're at the car park at 2:30. About 2:30. So it's dark, isn't it? And so we had our little headlights on. You know those little lights on your head? And you can just see. Yeah, miner's lights, little miner's lights. And so we all had them on. And my mind immediately jumped to the Bible and reminded me the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. And that's such a good verse, isn't it? Because a light unto my path. In Bible times, they only had these small little lamps that burnt this oil, and it wasn't much brighter than a candle. And the point was, they could only see their immediate next step. I think God only wants us to see the next step. I imagined that if we see the full path early in the journey, we might balk. If we see the sections that are difficult, before the Lord has prepared us, we might hesitate. I have heard it said that if we don't learn to trust God in the small areas of our lives, we will never trust Him in the big battles. When things become dark, and surely they will. That's a true statement, don't you think? He only asks us to trust Him now and take the next step. So we did. With our little miner's lights, we took the next step. I tried to conserve power because mine had red. And so I put it on red, but I kept tripping over the stones. It wasn't bright enough. So I had to consume more energy and put it back onto white light. Because I thought, oh well, I didn't want my light going out halfway up the mountain. Now the path. Whoops. I don't know if you can see that too well, but in the middle there's the path. Through the bush. The path was well worn. You know, there's over 100,000 people per year climb this mountain. It's very popular. Obviously because of its location and it's easy to get to. But if you can't really see it there too well, but if you left the edge of that, if you left the path, right, and got into the bush, you would quickly become lost. Quickly. And many rescues have occurred involving those who think they know better and leave the path to find a shortcut. The Christian walk is like this. There are no shortcuts. Sorry to tell you, if you haven't already worked that out. We need to stay on the path. Hey, it's a very narrow path too, by the way. The first people to climb this mountain, it took them 3.5 days. Because they had no path. They had to slog through the thick scrub. But due to the hard work of others, our path has been constructed so that we were able to reach the top in 3 hours, not 3 days. The path builders must have lost much sweat in building this path. It's some undertaking. It reminded me of the prophets and the saints who have gone before and have given us a path to follow. It reminded, in Jeremiah it says, 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. Good word. The climb, according to the information, was classed as difficult, hard, advanced, strenuous in places. Sounds a bit like the Christian walk, doesn't it? Strenuous in places. But generally, hard, and only for the advanced. Luke 14. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. He will first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough money to finish it. Won't he? Otherwise, if you lay a foundation and can't finish the building, everyone who watches will begin to ridicule him and say, this person started the building, but couldn't finish it. And again, or suppose, Jesus is saying, a king is going to war against another king. He will first sit down and consider whether, with 10,000 men, he can fight the one coming against him with 20,000 men. Won't he? If he can't, he will send a delegation to ask for terms of peace while the other king is still far away. In the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. Think on that. So Marilyn trained for 1 week prior to this climb. It didn't really cut it. Did it, hon? Hey, but she had something greater. You know, she had the support and the encouragement of the team who had all of her genuine interest in seeing her reach the top at heart. Wouldn't it be great if we all, as the body of Christ, had the same view? That our priority was that we want to see others excel and reach their God-given potential. Let us encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us continue to consider how to motivate one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another even more as we see the day of the Lord coming nearer. And surely that's a word for today, because I can see the Lord coming nearer by the day. So let's lift the encouragement, eh? So back to my story. We were not going to leave Marilyn behind. We slowed down that so that she could keep up. My son encouraged her from the front, and I pushed her from the rear. Picture that. So we pushed on and upwards. But not in a straight line, mind you. We were zigzagging, going back and forth across the mountain. This was not the shortest distance, but it was the easiest. If you ever see cattle grazing a hill, they'll do the same thing. They don't go straight up it. They exhaust you. They zigzag it, little by little. So the 1,156-metre mountain now becomes an 8,800-metre round trip. And so finally, we reached the first helipad lift point. Wait for it. You can't tell. That's Marilyn on the helipad. There are three of these spaced along the track to extract those for some reason or other, whether it be sprain, brakes, snake bite, no sharks, Archie, but could be heart attack. Some reason or other, they can't finish the race and have to be extracted. Here we rested and caught our breath. Some rested more than others. At some points along the track, there are breaks in the scrub where you could see the lights of the coast. And from our vantage point here on the first helipad, there was one such vantage point. And we could see the lights of the coast and the cities well below us. So it appeared to us we were making good progress. So we thought we had plenty of time and could take our ease. Well, that all changed 1.5 hours later into our journey when we came to this sign. Yes. We are now halfway. as this climb was rated at 2 hours, and we were 1.5 hours into it, and we had reached the halfway point, do the math. It meant we were going much slower than we thought. "You have to be kidding," was Marilyn's cry as she leant against the sign. Our spirits fell. Ever felt like that on your Christian walk? Have you ever thought you had progressed much further than you really had? Until something got your attention and said, "You gotta be kidding." But with a new surge of energy from the family and a drink of water, we pushed on. Step after step, some pain was now setting in. To make matters worse, while we were some of the first to leave the car park, we were now being overtaken by younger and more fitter climbers. Dozens of them. Some were by themselves, but many were in groups. Some walked. Some ran. Yes, ran. Marilyn was nearly crawling. I noticed one bloke was barefoot. Oh, good for feeling traction, I thought. As we climbed higher, the temperature started to drop and was becoming seriously cold as we started to feel the wind chill. What had started as a bit of adventure was now becoming a serious thing. Well past halfway, no turning back now, so we pushed on. Now, we could have left Marilyn and picked her up on the way back. We could have easily justified that action by reminding ourselves that we needed to be at the top before the sunrise, lest all our effort would have been wasted. But this was not an option. We all do it, or none do it. We started together, and we are determined to finish together. Reminded me that Jesus said that he had lost none that the Father had given him, John 18:9. This is for you, Trevor. A kiwi flew past me. Bare-chested. Bare-chested. He wasn't feeling the chill. I thought, typical kiwi. But all the people passing us had words of encouragement. And that was helpful. Have you encouraged someone recently who is struggling in life's journey? If not, would you consider doing that this week? Next, I observed my foot. I took this photo on the way back. I couldn't take it in the dark, but I noticed it on the way up. So on the way back, I took these tree roots. Have a look at them. They'd been trampled by thousands of feet of the many climbers, and they had been worn smooth. No rough edges here. But still they were holding solid and continuing to give life to the tree they were supplying. Have we been trampled, walked over and on by feet of those around us? Has this made us smooth? Has it removed our rough edges? Or do we react badly when we fear we are being walked on, trodden underfoot? Jesus reminded his disciples, if they wanted to be great, then they must humble themselves and become servants. To illustrate the point, he then washed their feet. How are we going with this? My next observation was this tree. Are we like this tree. Sometime in the past, early in its journey towards the light, something got it off course and took a 90 degree turn in the wrong direction. Has this ever happened to you? Someone in the church said something that offended us or walked on you or something similar, and due to this, your reaction got you off course. Or maybe you just got disillusioned with the Christian walk. Easy to do. And so you sought satisfaction in other areas. Many have. They start the journey well, but something bends them and they go in the wrong direction. I think Jesus told a parable about a sower relating to such a person. But look at this tree. All is not lost. Sometime later, it realigned and was not permanently bent out of shape. Sure, you can see some damage, but it once again is heading for the light. We can recover through Christ who strengthens us. Call on him. Get over it, as my daughter would say, and move on. Remember where we are heading. We told Marilyn it was not far now. And I thought this to be true. No, I thought it to be true. As the vegetation was changing, you know, when you go up in altitude, the vegetation changes and becomes more stunted. Usually a sign of less oxygen due to the high altitude that we must have now been at. And that explained why some of us were gasping for air. But some of the group were not having any problems at all, so it could not be due to that. Do you know, or have you known, some very spiritually fit Christians who can take the trials of life in their stride, while others falter easily? Yes? There's a lesson here. Grow in spiritual maturity now, so that when, not if, when the climb becomes hard, we have the right stuff to keep us going on. At the leadership conference, there was a speaker calling it grit. Have you got the grit to finish the race? So finally, when things couldn't get much worse, we hit the chain. Bit hard to see. Sorry about that, but there's the chain. Great, I thought. Just a little way now and we are there. Well, the darkness had lifted enough to see a near vertical climb up solid rock looming in front of us and into the distance. Later I learnt that this section went on for 300 metres. That's the dike at the top, obviously. I won't tell you what Marilyn said. This trial can introduce another element of difficulty into someone who has trouble with heights. It's called fear. Mm-hmm. While the climb was now seriously steep, there was a chain for assistance for those who wanted to use it. Many of the younger didn't, but Marilyn certainly did. So did I, as it made it much easier and less chance of slipping. Jesus told us that he would help us if we cried out to him. in our times of need. Do you use the chain? With every trial, he says, he gives us a way out. Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is unusual for human beings, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. Instead, along with the temptation, he will provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. But that's a choice. So why is the journey sometimes hardest near the finished? Well, could I suggest sometimes it's because the reward is just around the corner. We break through to the summit some 15 minutes before the sun rise, and yes, it was worth it. You can't actually tell, but the ocean's there. There was a little band of cloud. The sun was coming through it, and there was golden white tops on top of it. It was magnificent. And we were overlooking the landscape and magnificent scenery. And there's my hero. Hey, Marilyn done it. Reminds me of many saints. They had the hardest climb towards the end. But now they see their reward. The smile of Jesus' face as they are welcomed into their heavenly home. And the sun shines upon them as they see fully for the very first time. Just go back there. How many people see that every day? When we get to heaven, we'll see as we truly are, he says. We only see dimly now. Hey, what I see dimly is pretty good. So what I'm going to see then is going to blow my mind. And these saints have reached the summit, and now they can truly rest. And what a day it will be when we all meet in glory. In the meantime, though, keep pressing onward and upward as we follow the path that others have trod. And let us keep encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Let me close with these last two bits of scripture. Do you want to hear Jesus say these words? You have fought the good fight. You have completed the race. You have kept the faith. Yes, I hope so. So, my challenge for you today is this scripture. Philippians 3:14. We press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jeff.